This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we talk with volunteer firefighters who want you to join them in saving lives and property. Ever thought about being a volunteer firefighter? Regardless of your age, gender, or background, you might qualify for this life-changing experience and maybe even earn some money. And now we go inside the Compass. We're talking with Phyllis Spesser, Bill Beasley, Dottie Blanchard, and Aaron Parker, all with East Jefferson Fire Rescue, and the subject is volunteers. They could use more. Maybe it's just the thing for you. In a moment, Phyllis, Bill, Dottie, and Aaron will tell us all about the rewarding life of a volunteer firefighter and how you can help save lives and property. But first, we need to dispel a few myths about the fire service. They're not all men, and they're not all young anymore, but they do come from very interesting backgrounds. Phyllis Spesser is a volunteer firefighter here in Port Townsend, but she's also co-founder and former CEO of Foresight Science and Technology. She worked as senior advisor to the president on King Mongkut's University of Technology in Thailand, earned her doctorate in New York, and passed the bar exam in Washington, D.C. Dr. Spesser also joined President Ronald Reagan in the White House Rose Garden to honor her role in creating the Small Business Innovation Research Program. And yes, in her spare time, she puts on turnout gear and a helmet and knocks down fires here in Jefferson County. And then we have Bill Beasley, a name you often see in the newspapers because he's the public information officer for East Jefferson Fire Rescue. Whenever the media needs a quote or details about any incident to which the fire department responds, Beasley is their man. But did you know he's also a financial wizard with a degree in economics from the University of Missouri, as they say in Missouri, was a vice president with J.P. Morgan Retirement Plan Services, and founded Olympic Financial Advisors here in Port Townsend. He also serves as treasurer for the Jefferson Healthcare Hospice Foundation. So no matter what your background, gender, or age, there might be a place for you with East Jefferson Fire Rescue. We're going to get the bios of Dottie Blanchard and Aaron Parker in just a moment, but we'll start with Bill Beasley. Bill, since you are the official spokesman, what is East Jefferson Fire Rescue?
So East Jefferson Fire Rescue is what's referred to as a combination fire department. Combination meaning that we have a combination of both career personnel and volunteers. Technically, we're part of Jefferson County Fire Protection District Number 1, which essentially covers the end of the Quimper Peninsula and runs all the way down the peninsula and barely touches Highway 101 in the middle. There are several other fire districts in East Jefferson County. District 2 would be in Quilcene. District 3 is in Port Ludlow. District 4 is in Brennan, and District 5 is a very small district in Discovery Bay.
Do volunteer firefighters sleep at the station ready to respond at any time, day or night? Is that how that works?
Some do and some don't. It depends on the status of the volunteer. And this might be a good time to differentiate between the types of volunteers that we actually have at East Jefferson Fire Rescue. We've got two different general categories of volunteers. We have a true volunteer, someone who donates their time. It may be in what we call a combatant role, which is someone who actually fights fires, responds to car accidents, and so on. It may be in a support role for the fire district, something where they don't put on turnout gear, you know, they don't dress up and actually address a fire, but they do other ancillary jobs that are important to the district to help us out. Those volunteers may or may not sleep at the fire station during a shift in which they choose to take. Now, we contrast them with what we call resident volunteer firefighters. And this is a different classification of volunteer who actually has a goal, a long-term goal, of obtaining a career position with East Jefferson Fire Rescue. Now, our resident volunteers, we pay for a certain level of training for them. We pay for their emergency medical technician training. We pay for their firefighter training. And then in exchange, they come volunteer for us on a full shift, side by side, with our career firefighters, which I believe adds up to around 2,450 hours per year. So they'll join one of our three shifts, fully trained. They're virtually indistinguishable from our career firefighters, other than the fact that they earn a stipend of $900 per month. They will stay in the station overnight during each one of their shifts.
So they are technically volunteers, but they're actually being paid for their time.
Well, again, it's not an actual paycheck. It's a stipend,
That
they receive as remuneration for their volunteering work. And then when the time comes for us to promote into our career ranks, we look at that pool of resident volunteers, and frankly, our regular volunteers as well, but the resident volunteers are the ones who have identified a desire to become career. We'll look to that pool and test out of that pool to select certain firefighters, whoever we want to hire into the career ranks.
So there's a different level of volunteer that is not paid at all, a stipend or anything? Is that what you were referring to?
Well, you're close. Our true volunteers do receive what are referred to as volunteer points. Each time they respond to a call or support the fire district in some way, they will earn a point or more. And those points do turn into dollars at the end of each quarter. Yeah, each quarter we have a pool of money, and depending on how many volunteer points were earned by all the volunteers during that quarter, that pool is divided into a per point amount, which say could run $13 or $15 per point. So they do earn a little bit of money, but it's not a set amount. And I think I'm pretty safe in saying that most people don't do it for the money.
So let's talk about the actual experiences of volunteers. Now, Phyllis, tell us about some of the experiences that you've had on the front lines as a firefighter.
This is my second fire district that I've worked for. I moved up here from California, where I'm a California Firefighter 1. Firefighter 1 is similar, a professional firefighter here, although I was in an all-volunteer district. My previous district was 400 people in 100 square miles. We did mostly wildland and medical. One of the interesting things that a lot of people don't realize is about 80% of the calls nationally are medical. So you do a lot of medical calls as a firefighter. You're cross-trained for that at different levels. Aaron, for example, is an EMT. I'm what they call a first responder. Here, what I do is I'm still a wildland firefighter. I've recertified as that. And I am also on the ambulance. I go out as the third pair of hands. So I help the EMTs and the paramedics. And basically, I'm the person who carries the equipment, gets this when they need it, gets the gurney. Sometimes you're put in these situations where you're part of saving somebody's life, where you're actually involved in activities like helping them breathe with a bag which you're squeezing at the right rate and so on. So it's a very exciting job, and I'm 67, so it's a great if you are interested in something to give your life meaning when you're retired, it is probably the biggest kick you can find. It's just really exciting. The people are wonderful. Everybody is a great team. And I think it's both the team and the work itself that makes it so special to be part of this department. And it's very unusual to have a department like this that is a combination department that so well integrates its volunteers. It's really a testimony to the department and the chief.
I've thought about volunteering myself. I'm 65, so obviously I'm too old to do this. You're older than I am, and you're doing this.
Yeah, you look like you're in pretty good shape, too, so you could actually be a wildland firefighter. To do that, you need to take some courses, but you also have to be able to do 3 miles in 45 minutes with a 45-pound pack on your back. But even if you're not at that physical level, you can certainly be an EMT, help out in the ambulances. There's, as Bill mentioned, there's a lot of people who do support work. A fire department is like any other organization. There's a logistics tail that's needed and an administrative tail that's needed to support the firefighters. Bill?
She brings up a good point. Specifically, we are really expanding what we're looking for in terms of volunteers. We are putting a greater emphasis. She gave you an excellent statistic. Close to 80% of our calls are medical. So when people think about volunteering as a firefighter, all of our firefighters are dually trained. They have both a medical component, either EMT at the basic level or paramedic at the advanced level, and they are a firefighter. However, in the volunteer ranks, we're looking for people who are willing to obtain their EMT, like I believe Dottie is planning on doing.
I am.
And where are you going to use them in support roles on both medical incidents and as medical backup on fires and other emergency responses that we make? So if you don't like the idea of putting on bunker care and carrying a hose and wearing a respirator, but you do want to provide a meaningful service to the community, an opportunity to volunteer as an EMT would be very valuable. And the best news of all, perhaps, is we will pay for your training. It takes about 3.5 months. We will get you fully certified as an EMT once you pass your national exam, and we'll be able to put you to work. So the barriers to entry are few.
I want to bring in Dottie Blanchard. You used to be a librarian. Is that true?
I worked at the library. Yes, I did all the librarian work. I also have been a music teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm a musician. My degree is in early music, and I've been a doula. I've done a number of things, actually.
A doula?
Doula is a person who works with laboring moms.
Ah.
And I did that for a number of years.
So what made you think that volunteering for this kind of dangerous work with the fire service was a good idea?
Well, I have to echo a few things that Phyllis said and a couple not. I don't have the background that she has in this. When I was in my 30s, I had wanted to take EMT training. That appealed to me. It's something that didn't happen. And I'm 66 now. I'd say probably in the last couple of years, I thought, oh, that's too bad. That's something that I wanted to do, and it's just not going to happen. And then the last recruitment period came up, and I heard about it and got excited, thought, okay, I'll try taking the test and see what happens. And I passed it, and I've been very excited and really pleased. I've been working 12-hour shifts by choice as a volunteer, and I can't imagine anything else I'd rather do.
When you said taking the test and you passed it, what does the test consist of? Is this physical stuff? Or
The one I was talking about is I'm thinking of the physical test, and that's the one that I thought, I don't know if I'd be able to do this, but I did. I had to take the same test that Aaron did. Well, there's a couple things that he took that I didn't have to, because I'm not doing firefighting. Mm-hmm. I am strictly will be on the medical side of it. I do go out on calls, and I am about to take the EMT course. But you have to do a number of pretty rigorous tasks, but I could do them. Mm-hmm. And you have to do them within a certain amount of time. And I did that.
So even if you're 66 or older and a female, you can pass the physical part of the test and at least do the EMT work.
Yes.
Okay.
And other things too.
I want to emphasize that the physical test is something that anybody who is reasonably fit can do to join the department and be an EMT. If you want to be a wildland firefighter or a structural firefighter, there are more rigorous requirements, which makes sense because you're carrying hose and other things. Mm-hmm. But nobody who is in reasonably good shape should worry about the physical test.
Dottie, fire service was considered a man's job for a long time. Have you ever experienced any disrespect or problems from the guys?
Absolutely none. And it is one of the things, there are two things that I wondered going into it. I didn't expect much problems at all, but I did wonder if there would be any degree of misogyny mm-hmm. and ageism.
Yeah.
And I have not once come across either one. I feel like, and I'm a rather shy person, so this has been interesting for me, but I immediately have felt like I'm part of the team.
So, Phyllis, has your experience been similar? Have you had any kind of problems with the old boys' school, so to speak?
No, and I think if anybody was going to experience it, I would. I state this since the radio audience can't know this, but I'm transgendered. And I have to say, both in California, in this little tiny community in here, I've never experienced anything negative. As my old chief used to say, you know, we walk through that door, we're all firefighters, we're all part of the team, and we're all here because we want to help people. And that attitude is throughout the fire service in general, not only here, but nationally. So if you do go out on a wildland fire where you're mixing with people from all over America sometimes, you don't experience it either. It's one of the wonderful things about this kind of work is that nobody does this unless they care about people, and people who care about people tend not to be very negative.
Very well said. I want to bring in Aaron Parker now. Aaron, Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into the fire service.
Well, I wanted to get in the fire service right out of high school. So I joined the Army Reserve. It was after 9/11. I thought I could serve my country and maybe get some experience. I served in my reserve unit for 6 years. I came back and didn't really have a direction or a goal. Kind of got lost in the shuffle of the fire service. It definitely takes a lot of dedication to be part of, and especially if you want to go full career. It's not a part-time job. You need to be fully dedicated, which I was when I was a young man, didn't know what I wanted. I ended up working on boats, sailing as an engineer, a chief engineer on an ocean-going tug for the past 11 years. I wanted to make a change in life, didn't want to work on boats till I was 60, so I thought about life for a while and said, I want to work closer to home. I want to work in the community where I grew up. I want to be able to give back and, help the people that helped me grow up. And saw a pretty awesome opportunity where I got to work side by side with career guys and learn from them. And it's an invaluable experience. You can read anything out of a book. You can learn anything from a lecture. But until you get to a point where you're working side by side with another professional and they're teaching you the way they do it and you're learning from them, it's a whole different ballgame. And it's like you're just a sponge. You just suck it up and learn and go on to the next day. And like Dottie and Phyllis said, if you show that you want to work and you show up ready to work and to sacrifice, they're going to show you how to work and they're going to show you what they want and how to do it and how to help the community out.
And you are a volunteer.
I'm a volunteer resident. I work full shifts with A shift out at Station 15. I show up in the morning with the guys. I put my boots on. We do rig checks. We go on every call during the daytime. I've worked a lot of shifts with Dottie. She's been in there helping out. And then when, most of the volunteers go home, it's, the career guys are there and I'm there with them. And, we're cooking dinner. We're going on calls while we're cooking dinner. We're running here, running there, waking up at 2 a.m. to go help somebody out. It's a pretty awesome experience. And I'll tell you what, you'll know if you want to do the job if you're still enjoying it at 3 a.m. after it's the fourth time you've woken up and you still got a little bit of a smile on your face and went home and said, that was a good night.
Tell us about any memorable experiences that you've had on calls that you've been on, things that you think, wow, that was something.
Definitely. We had one. I was pretty new. I'm still new, pretty new. It was probably my third or fourth shift. We had a CPR, went to the lady's house. We started CPR, all the action's happening, and we brought her back and we airlifted her to Harborview. And it was, it was a lot of intensity, a lot of emotions, and it wouldn't happen. But, the next day when I went home and my sister said, what'd you do at work last night? We said, we saved somebody's life. Wow. we brought somebody back to life. And, it was a really great experience I know I didn't do all of it. I know I probably didn't do much of it, but just like being part of the team that did it, it was a good feeling.
That's gotta be a life changing experience. I would think the first time somebody does that, but I wanted to get Bill in here again. Bill, could you give us the sales pitch for folks listening who might be interested volunteering for East Jefferson Fire Rescue? What are you looking for? What are the requirements, the qualifications?
Sure. It's a fairly broad question. We're looking for people who want to give to their community, as you've heard before today. People that enjoy helping other people. They might have time in their lives when they can give back to the community. Depending on how they work with the district, they can choose their hours. They can choose their days. And that gives them a huge amount of latitude, a great deal of flexibility in how they assist us. Specifically, we're looking for volunteers who are willing to fight fires. So we're looking for combatant volunteers who will get their Firefighter 1 and their EMT and be able to work shifts side by side with our career people. We're also looking for volunteers in an EMT-only capacity, a person with an interest in medicine outside of the hospital environment. They're going to be operating out of an ambulance by the side of the highway. They're going to be operating in people's homes. They're going to be operating in outdoor areas. For people who like to do something different every day, they don't like the idea of sitting down in a cubicle or in an office. They have no idea at the start of their shift what they're going to be doing. Sometimes a little bit of an adrenaline junkie is good. Mm-hmm. And we jokingly say people with short attention spans are welcome as well, because no 2 days are alike. And then finally, we're looking for people who are willing to help out in extra roles, such as supporting me and our public information group. If people like to go and work with children in the schools and provide public education about fire and life safety, people who might be willing to get certified to teach CPR in our community, we're looking for that. And then people are willing to maybe even be drivers of some of our big rigs or water tenders. If they're certified or can get certified to drive large vehicles, we have volunteers sometimes staff our water tenders when we're fighting a fire out in the district where there are no hydrants nearby. So I think it's a pretty broad swath of available opportunities to help here. We encourage people to reach out to us. They can call our offices at the fire district and learn more about volunteer opportunities, specifically what we're looking for, or maybe offer up their services and see if there's a fit.
And people who won't faint at the sight of blood, is that probably one of the requirements as well?
Depending on the role that you would like to play with the fire district, certainly it helps to be able to handle medical types of calls. And if that's not for you, then that's not the role we would have you fill. We'd have you do something else with us. But if you are able to handle that, and one thing, you know, when you ask some firefighters about the harder parts of their job, Aaron mentioned it earlier, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning in a couple minutes and getting down and getting on the road is a tough one. Also, because we live in such a small community. Once you've been a firefighter long enough, you will undoubtedly go on a call where you know the patient or the victim or the house that's on fire. And that happens quite a bit with some of our senior firefighters who have been in this community for a long period of time. I would say that makes what we do all that more important, the unselfishness of helping out our neighbors and our loved ones and our family members in this small community.
The only other thing I would add is to what Bill said is, if you're a mariner, in the sense of a sailor or somebody who uses motorboats, the district also has two boats. I used to be a sailor, and I volunteer also. I'm one of the boats. And so we're doing water rescue there. We're actually had a drill today where we were pumping water out of the ocean to spray on the land in case there was a wildfire along the coastline, for example. So really, pretty much whatever you want to do, there is a place you will find you will fit inside the department.
This is a question both for Dottie and then for Aaron, since you guys have been doing this for some time, as has Phyllis. And you could weigh in as well, but the question is, to someone listening who might be thinking about volunteering, what would you say are the rewards from fire service?
I think the rewards you get from the fire service is giving back to the community. You know, there's for someone who's spent their whole life here, it's a lot of people have given me, you know, a lot of coaches, a lot of football coaches, baseball coaches, teachers have given me a lot of spare time of their life. And it feels really good to be able to give back to them. It also feels good to be part of it. Like, you're part of a family and part of a team when you're part of it. They take you in, they treat you like you're one of their own. I mean, being new, you get a lot of the bad jobs, you know, a lot of the sweeping, a lot of the cleaning bathrooms, but, you know, that's part of growing up and part of being a new person to the team. So I think, you know, helping out your community and being part of the family, it's a real good feeling.
Kind of the same things Aaron has said, but as someone totally new, I've only been volunteering for about 3 months now. Mm-hmm. And the idea and the feeling that you get from being able to help people, I think that is one of the major things of why most people would do this, but also unexpected things for me, and that is feeling part of that team and that it is a family. It's just an all-around great thing.
The only other thing I would add is, since I'm the senior person in the room,
yes,
when you retire, at first you're like, woo! And then all of a sudden you're like, well, why am I getting up in the morning? And I have to say, being in the fire service gives your life immense meaning. It's just a wonderful, and it's fun. I mean, when you were a little kid, you're like, oh, drive a fire truck. Well, I actually do drive fire trucks now, you know. And so it's fun, meaning, and the other things that everybody else mentioned.
I'd like to add, I forgot the fun part because it's just there so much. And things that for me that would be outside of my comfort zone that have been, and finding that I don't mind doing those things out of my comfort zone. I'm not driving the big engines, but I did have to go through the course and have to put in my hours driving utility trucks, the ambulance, and even one of the bigger trucks. It's the fun of finding those things that you didn't know you would like doing.
Now, Phyllis, since you are the senior member in the room, I'll put this question to you. Why volunteer firefighters? Does Jefferson County not have enough money to pay its firefighters?
So the fundamental reality across the United States is there is always more need than there is money to go around in the fire service. And as we look at what's happening here in Jefferson County, there are two factors that are particularly important. The first factor is we have an increasingly aging population. We've become, over the past 20 years, a retirement community. And unfortunately, the reality is older people tend to have more medical problems, so there are more calls. The second factor, which we're seeing particularly this year, for example, when there's been so little rainfall, is with global climate change, the fire season is longer and more intense. So the kinds of things that we've seen down in California are going to start happening up here. We've seen it in the western part of the state. And we'll see, it won't be as intense as the western part here, but it will be more intense than it's been in the past. So as we prepare for this, we need to expand the force that is there to support the population and to preserve the property.
I wanted to ask Aaron, what do you think a person needs to be a good firefighter? What are the qualities?
Qualities you need. Need dedication. You need to have a no quit mentality. Like don't let failures stop you, because you will fail multiple times before you succeed. An outgoing personality, a real just want to learn, want to be part of the team. You can't be the guy who sits in the corner and expects someone to come to you to teach you. You're going to have to be out there tugging on people's coattails, asking them what to do, real outgoing. I don't know if I said dedicated, but you got to be dedicated to your craft. That's why I failed 15 years ago, is because I wasn't dedicated. I kind of had a big head, didn't have a mentor, didn't have a direction. I was kind of a rudderless ship spinning around in circles, and I ended up on another path in life. But, you know, when I came back to it this time, I said, you know what? I looked back at what I did wrong before, and I wasn't all in. I'm using that word like a poker term. I'm all in. I quit my job. I sold my house. I'm dedicating all my free time to the fire department, and you got to be all in.
Dottie, you're the most recent volunteer. You've been only a couple of months, I think you said.
About 3 months.
What advice would you give to someone who's thinking about doing this in terms of preparation for the test or the activities they'll have to go through to get over that hurdle and become volunteers?
It could be the same thing with me, is that I had no idea how to prepare for it. I did call ahead of time into the office and got who I now know is Emily. And I said, what does the test consist of? Fortunately for me, she said, oh, you just lift a couple of things. And but
they heavy things?
Yes, but nothing I couldn't lift.
Ah.
I would say for anyone to, if you can, go to the practice time ahead of time, because that gives you an exact idea of what you have to do. It did give me a chance to practice a couple of things, so that my time, even in the practice, I managed to do it under the time that you had to do it in. But because I got to know what it was and practice it a little bit, then I did much better in the actual test. There's also a written test that I don't think is difficult at all, and an interview. Aaron may disagree.
Aaron's raising his hand. Aaron, is it difficult?
I wouldn't say difficult, but for a guy who hasn't been in high school and didn't take high school very seriously, I would definitely, if I could do it again, I would have refreshed it up on some basic GED spelling, a little bit of math and stuff like that. I didn't have a problem passing it, but I didn't feel very good when I left the room.
Okay. So finally, Bill, tell our listeners exactly what they have to do if they're interested in volunteering for East Jefferson Fire Rescue.
So the first thing I would recommend is that they log on to our website to learn more about volunteering with the fire district, and that is www.ejfr.org, and that stands for East Jefferson Fire Rescue.org. They can also download an application right there and turn it in.
With East Jefferson Fire Rescue volunteers Bill Beasley, Phyllis Spesser, Dottie Blanchard, and Aaron Parker, this is David Cunningham for KPTZ News. The Compass airs Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. with a repeat Saturday at noon, exclusively here on KPTZ, the home of eclectic, authentic community radio.